Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
We were going to be catching up this morning with a man from Christchurch. He's a counsellor who was actually working in the CTV building when the earthquake hit. When we were on the phone with him, though, this happened.
Yeah.
Hold on. Sorry, aftershock.
Oh, goodness.
And that's the thing, these aftershocks. I mean, that was just shaking the whole house then. I guess it's that sort of stuff that's quite scary, isn't it?
We thought we might catch up with him tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. But you would have heard about that aftershock, of course, in the news.
Yes, that was... Yeah.
Having your whole house shaking around you.
After having been through everything that he's been through, he has an incredible survival story. He was in a building that most people didn't make it out of, and he did. And the prayers he was praying when that hit and what that experience was like for him, and also as a counsellor, how he sees where people are at now and how things are going to progress for them in the next few months. We're going to talk to him about all of that tomorrow.
Yep, after 7, tomorrow morning, make sure you tune in to hear David's story.
Hope 103.2.
Of course, the Oscars last night at 9:40.
It was way too late.
I did like Colin Firth. I did manage to see some highlight grabs.
Oh, isn't he lovely?
Look, it's just such a British... This is a part of his speech, and it's so, so British.
I have a feeling my career's just peaked. I'm afraid I have to warn you that I'm experiencing stirrings. I have some in the upper abdominals, which are threatening to form themselves into dance moves, which, joyous as they may be for me, it would be extremely problematic if they make it to my legs before I get off stage.
Yes, Mr. Darcy.
Highlights.
A cup of tea and a good lie down.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. But just very classy. There's no uncontrollable crying or over the top behaviour. But good on you, Colin Firth. The King's Speech, a movie I'll probably wait till it hits television before I get to see it at this rate.
Oh, make sure you do. It's a ripper. It cleaned up. 4 Oscars for The King's Speech. It won Best Picture. Colin Firth got Best Actor, as you just heard. Best Director, Tom Hooper, he won that as well. So, yeah, they did very nicely out of proceedings.
Look, go the Aussies.
We did well. Recap of the Aussies.
I think it's worth it.
Best Animated Short Film went to Sean Tan and Andrew Ruhrman. Sean Tan is a fantastic Australian children's author. He wrote The Arrival and beautiful. And that, I believe, don't quote me on this, I believe that was his first film, his first foray into film.
Good work.
Hello. He's a bit of an underachiever, the old Sean Tan. Kirk Baxter was part of the team who won Best Editing for The Social Network. And Emile Sherman was one of the producers of Best Picture, The King's Speech, which we're now very much claiming as a co-production between Britain and Australia.
Yeah.
You know, because somebody in the crew had eaten a lamington at some point in their lives. And no. Tom Hooper, the director of The King's Speech, is actually a dual citizen. His mum's from Adelaide. So we're claiming him.
Oh, I'm claiming as many as we can. I'm a bit distracted. I'm on Wikipedia on Colin Firth's page just trying to find any reference to Australia.
Natalie Portman can spell Australia, so...
Thank you. That's one for us.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, Colin. There's got to be something Oz in there. A friend in Australia? Of course. He played a character with an Australian speech therapist. There's the Australian connection.
Yep.
So, Colin... Welcome to Australia.
Yep.
We cleaned up at the Oscars.
We did.
We really cleaned up. And that's a really long bow to draw, but I like it.
Hope 103.2.
Just something you said there before we went to traffic, Helen. Paul commentary, the thing about Partner Day there, and had the Paul commentary, I said, I'll be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And you said, can you remind me when Paul Common's in the studio to tell him about your wisdom teeth story?
Oh, he just got me through getting my wisdom teeth out. He just released his Best Of, the History album, and I had it on my iPod at the time, and I was getting all 4 wisdom teeth out in the chair. Mm. I was being all rugged and tough about it a couple of years ago. Not, incidentally, a choice I would necessarily make again.
Yeah.
Given the anaesthetic, give it to me good. But, Yeah, so he got me through. I was listening to his album.
Okay, that's all nice, but why do I have to remember to tell him? It's crazy.
I know, I just wanted you to remind me when he was here because I wanted to thank him.
Okay, Paul. So, oh, hang on. Before we do anything, Helen, the wisdom teeth, yeah, I'll do that. When he comes in. My goodness.
Okay, or I could stop being quite so self-indulgent. Should we try that angle instead?
It's more that I just don't know why I'm the one who has to remember.
You're just better at remembering stuff than I am. I just thought, you know, two of us had our brains on the job.
It'll plague me now. I'll wake up in the middle of the night. Oh, wisdom teeth. I've got to remember. Can I remember it?
Wisdom teeth.
Can I remember it?
My gums will be haunting your dreams.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
If you're not a MasterChef fan, just to apologise. I apologise just for a moment. They're actually shooting at the moment, apparently, the next season of it. So it'll just coming up soon. But anyway, remember Callum, who didn't win?
Of course, lovely, sweaty young Callum.
He was, oh, poor guy. And, you just felt for him. And he was told to do something. And he says, oh, no, I'll persist with what I'm doing. Oh, I'll see if I can fix this. And it didn't work. And remember, it all went bad a little.
But he was a runner-up. He came good.
People love the guy. So anyway, he won the George, you know, chef guy. He was very kindly said, 3 month apprenticeship, come to my restaurant, I'll look after you, buddy.
A bunch of different restaurants, like some of the top places in Australia.
Just phenomenal. What an opportunity. So he was an apprentice for 3 months. Well, that's expired. And that's where the rubber hits the road here, because guess what?
What?
After his 3 month apprenticeship, he's decided, I don't want to be a chef anymore.
Oh.
He doesn't want to be a chef anymore. You know, let's be honest about it, though. Sure, it's good to work it out. The only way you're going to work it out is on the job.
Yes,
not in the kind
it's
of
true.
The theatre mode of MasterChef.
Yeah.
But he wants to teach people how to cook. And you know what? That's, I would say,
because then you get to prepare one meal.
Think of the preference there.
You don't have to cook 400 with
pressure.
Diners complaining and boiling heat in the kitchen and pressure and intensity. No, just one.
And they're yelling.
And now, here's how to quenelle the custard, you know, it's a much different pace.
And then if you get it wrong, you say, oh, that's, I was tricking you. That's not how you do it, is it? Hey, who picked up on that? Hey, you could do that game. But I reckon that would be a lot less pressure. Now, still, if you teach cooking, you know, valid and very important.
For sure.
And you've got to do it right, haven't you? You've got to be really on top of the game, and you've got to have a lot of patience teaching people.
Mm.
But it's not the heat and the intensity. There's no one yelling at you like in a kitchen, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So good on you, Callum. You've worked it out that being a chef is not for you, but still, I guess we all just sort of had this little, I don't know, this thought in the back of our mind, he'll finish his 3 months and we'll see him in some kitchen somewhere one day and go, hey, that's Callum from MasterChef cooking my chicken burger or something.
Yeah.
No.
But sometimes that happens, doesn't it? You get to the end of a 3-year degree or something, go, you know what, now I'm absolutely expertly convinced I do not want to do that. Mm. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, still got the hex debt for the next 20 years, though, with that, don't you? Callum misses out on that part, I suppose. Sonia's a chef and a teacher. Good morning, Sonia.
Hello.
So you're run a restaurant and you do the whole chef thing and the hot kitchen and the yelling and the whole thing?
That's right, yeah, and I can understand why you don't. You got to be a
Yeah, you got to have a pretty thick skin to work in a kitchen, don't you?
That's for sure, yeah. And hot tempers and you go crazy, that's for sure.
Yeah, hot tempers and hot pants. Like, it's all it's all going.
Yeah.
But teaching isn't an easy option out, is it, really?
No, well, to become a TAFE teacher, a qualified teacher, and be able to teach up-and-coming chefs, you need to actually stay current. So if he wants to teach, he still has to be in a restaurant.
Oh!
He can go along and just do his little celebrity spot and say, hey, I'm Cullum, I can teach you how to cook, but he can't actually do apprenticeships and stuff. So.
Right.
Interesting. And that's great. I mean, that makes good, perfect sense, really. You want industry professionals experienced.
Well, I'd probably actually go along to one of his little courses as well.
Yeah. Oh, yay!
That's good.
As long as he doesn't take my job, that's okay.
Yeah, right. Fair enough. But you reckon he could teach you a thing or two about quenelles of custard?
Of course, yeah. But if you're making real custard, you can't really quenelle it, sorry.
Oh, okay. I've never even heard that word before, MasterChef. Now I just try and use it as much as possible.
It is a cool word.
And what do you think, out of interest, of the food that's cooked up, the standard of the food, say, on My Kitchen Rules and MasterChef and all these shows? What do you think these general civilian-type people, what do you think of the quality of the food?
I think good on them, and they do an awesome job. There's some people out there that are lucky. I've tried to get onto all of the competitions myself, but because I've got training, they won't let me in.
Oh,
unfair, because I'd win.
It's the first day of autumn, and I'm excited because... dot, dot, dot. Do you want to fill in the blanks?
Less humidity, hopefully.
You worried about your hair being frizzy?
Yeah, oh, yeah, it just turns into this massive kind of old-style Guy Sebastian do. No.
Mine really does do the 80s perm look very well in the humidity. I'm excited about wearing boots. I love it. Autumn, and you get to pull your boots out again, and soon enough it'll be coat and scarf weather.
Yeah, no, I can't relate
Not today. Today it's like 36 degrees in the city and the west.
Yes.
But we'll get a cool change and rain and stuff coming through later on.
But just that humidity, you walk outside and just it's water all over you. It's
breathing soup.
Oh, yuck. That'd be nice to see the end of that. But what else is there? Your boots and I've got my humidity. I don't know. It's just
what are you excited about autumn? We'd love to have you fill in the blanks if you like. It's the first day of autumn and I'm excited because... 1-300-40-2020.
Silvana, good morning.
Good morning. I love when the leaves change their colour.
Oh, it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a lot of maple trees in our street and there's just lots of leaves. It's just beautiful.
Oh, it all looks a bit romantic, doesn't it?
I love autumn leaves.
I like to run and skip and play in the...
Oh, well, I'm a bit old for that, but yeah.
I love sweeping them up in my courtyard every day because the frangipani tree just sheds.
The neighbours don't appreciate them either, but I think they're just beautiful.
Uh-huh.
That is a fair point. Well, enjoy cleaning up all the mess this autumn.
Thank you. Have a good day.
See ya. Essie's on the phone as well. G'day, Essie. How are you doing?
Hi. Very good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Autumn?
Oh, mine is, I don't think we have seasons anymore. I really don't know what to look forward to. I mean...
That's true.
It's a fair point. It's quite a Northern Hemisphere thing, isn't it? It's a bit British.
Well, yeah, weather's changing three times a day, different seasons. I don't know what's going on. Take a jacket in the middle of summer and whatever.
A singlet in the middle of winter.
Yeah, exactly.
Just in case.
Just in case.
Fair point. Fair point. It's just life as usual. Just move on, carry it on. Yep.
That's it. Go day by day.
Hope 103.2.
We're talking surfing this morning. The first event of the ASP, the Association of Surfing Professionals, world title season for this year is happening at the Gold Coast at the moment, when we can actually rustle up some big enough waves for them all to compete anyway. And not only are the world's hottest surfers there, but the people looking after their emotional and spiritual support as well, the ASP chaplains. Abe Andrews is the men's chaplain on the circuit. Hey, Abe, are there actually any decent waves this morning?
No.
Oh, no. How embarrassing.
Yeah, it's flat.
Oh, so how much competing have they actually been able to do so far?
We had a day of competition on Saturday, and so it kicked off with some pretty good swell, and then on Sunday they did an expression session, which isn't really it's not actually competing for the title. It's just a chance for the surfers to show what they can do and for the public to come and check out, you know, these famous surfers, you know, doing aerials and stuff like that.
Oh, wow.
How can you do an aerial on just a bit of whitewash?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's why they're the professionals.
fair enough. Who's the favourites for the competition? Who are we expecting to take it out?
We've got 10-time world champion Kelly Slater, so he's always a threat and always, you know, a big one to watch. And then there's the local guys like Mick Fanning and Joel Parkinson. They know that break really well at Snapper, and they're always really high contenders. And then we have Taj Burrow, who just won the Burley Breaker contest, which is just up at Burley Heads. And so he'll be keen to win again. And he actually won the Quicksilver Pro last year. So, yeah, so there's a few contenders there.
And Steph Gilmore always does us proud, doesn't she?
Oh, yeah, the girls are... You know, they're always amazing, and Steph knows how to surf and how to compete, and she'll definitely be in there, and you know, as well as Sally Fitzgibbon. And we got the new young surfer Tyler Wright, who actually saw out there and at the last swell that we had, and she was absolutely ripping. So there's going to be some pretty, you know, hot young girls coming through, and you know, pushing these older girls to go bigger.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about what a surf chaplain does? It sounds like a pretty fantastic gig, just quietly.
Yeah, I guess, like, it is a really good, you know, it is a really cool opportunity, you know, to work with these surfers, but I guess it's mainly just helping them along the way. We sort of, well, what I try and do is just meet them with their needs. So if they have a practical need, they might need, you know, me just to film their heat or to caddy for them, you know, during an event, and I'll do those things. But then if there's, you build those relationships through doing those practical things, and then, you know, if there's a tragedy or if there's something going on in their lives or they have a relationship problem or, you know, that they need someone to talk to, they know they can come to me in confidence and they can talk to me and know that I'm not going to go and blurb it all over the media or, you know, go and tell people. And, you know, it's just for them to have a safe person they can come to and know that, you know, I'm a safe person.
Mm. Now, you're the first ASP chaplain ever. There was some controversy when you started, wasn't there?
Yeah, I guess so. Like, it's, you know, it's always interesting when chaplaincy is brought up in a new, you know, not many people know about it. And, you know, in the sport of surfing, you know, it's definitely become more professional. And chaplains have been around for years. But in surfing, it's just been totally foreign to the surfing world. So when it first started, people obviously were sort of asking, well, what is a chaplain, you know? And so I've sort of had to lay a firm foundation of, you know, what chaplaincy is, so that people can go, hey, this is actually a cool thing, and it's not just, you know, some, you know, Bible basher running around trying to, you know, convert us or something like that, which, you know, which I think in the past people have been afraid of. So, yeah, it's just a matter of knowing that there is someone there that can help and to serve and to meet the needs of the guys that are on tour, and also the staff, you know, the judges, and there's a big entourage of staff that follow the tour as well, so I'm there for them as well.
And I guess there are some pretty tough times too, like the surfing world lost one of your legends in November when Andy Irons passed away very suddenly. Where do you start as a chaplain to help when the whole tour is grieving?
I guess, you know, that was a huge experience for the surfers and for the tour, and we've never lost a world champion before, so to lose someone like Andy, you know, was really hard. And you know, the first thing I think that went through my mind when I got the phone call was just like, oh my gosh, you know, this is really where the rubber hits the road. And so, you know, I just made the effort. I was in Puerto Rico at the time. We were at an event, and I just made the effort to make sure guys were okay, that they, you know, had someone around them at that time that they could talk to or that they could grieve with. And, you know, we came to grips with it all really, you know, by doing a paddle out the next day. And we did that, you know, so that we could bring the whole family together, like the whole tour family together, and to, you know, just to sort of start that grieving process and to, you know, be able to just spend that time, you know, because at that time all you want is to be around your family or your loved ones. And for a lot of these guys, they still had to compete, and then their loved ones were scattered all around the world. So it was just a good opportunity for us to come together and just to unite and, yeah, just to love on each other in that time.
Good stuff.
Abe, absolute pleasure to talk to you. All the best, and, well, yeah, hopefully you have a good tournament. Hopefully some good waves come in too.
Yeah, yeah, we'll definitely be praying for waves, and, yeah, thanks for talking to me.
Yeah, no worries. I guess it's not called a tournament either. I'm just losing my street cred.
I know, I have had so much before.
Surfy cred. I got a new word out of it, ripping. That's something you say for a good wave. I'm going to add that to my repertoire. Do you reckon?
That was Abe Andrews from Christian Surfers, by the way. He's a men's world tour chaplain with the ASP.
I'm just working on my surfy cool. I should stop talking now.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.